Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us for worship on Sunday mornings. Our church meets at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. If you can't join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and join us. You can chat, ask for prayers, and be blessed. And if you can't make any of those, you can always go to our YouTube channel. Our YouTube channel is The Seed Christian Fellowship. We're going to do a couple week, I don't know, I'm working on this series, but we're going to be in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, 1 to 41, we'll break it down. And it's our prayer here at The Seed that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go into the world sowing seeds of faith with the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to turn to chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. We've been looking at the miracles recorded in John's Gospel. If you're keeping count, this will be the sixth miracle recorded by John. Have you ever stopped to ponder why some Gospel writers record certain miracles and others do not? In the beginning of chapter 8 of John, we find Jesus is being confronted by the religious leaders, teachers of the law, and the Pharisees again. They bring a woman to him who's caught in adultery. They tell Jesus that the law says the woman should be stoned for her sin. They ask Jesus what they should do with her. John tells us that they do this to trap Jesus. Jesus bends down and he starts writing in the sand in the middle of the courtyard of the temple. The scholars through the ages have argued about what Jesus was writing. I don't really know what he was writing, but I believe he was writing a Greek word, aphiemi, which in Greek means forgiven. Who here needs to be forgiven? I know I do. I know that we all do. I think John 8 gives us a wonderful glimpse of God's forgiveness. Jesus tells them that the one without any sin should throw the first stone. Surely and slowly, one by one, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees drop their stones. You can hear them go thud, 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 and they walk away. Jesus looks at the woman standing in front of him and asks her, where are her accusers? Listen to John 8, 10, and 11. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin, John 8, 10, and 11. Wow, that's great advice. I always say put yourself in the story, but better yet, put the story in you. That's great advice. Anyone here today who needs a word from the Lord? This is it. Go now and leave your life of sin. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know your fears, your doubts, your guilt, your shame, or the sin that clings so closely. But I hear Jesus say, has no one condemned you? Neither do I. Now go and leave your life of sin. Well, next Jesus stood in the middle of the courtyard of the temple as they were lighting those four huge candelabras for the celebration. And we talked about that last week. And he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8, 12. Jesus wanted to tell the people that whoever would follow him would never be in the dark. Friends, do you feel like you're in the dark sometimes? Jesus says, turn to me and I will light up your life. I'll light up your world. Jesus has now lit up the life of the woman caught in sin and gave her the extreme gift, the extreme miracle, forgiveness. Jesus does the same for you and me. He comes into our life and lights up our lives when we're caught in sin and gives us forgiveness. Jesus came to bring light to a dark world. Listen to John 8:31 through 32 again. Jesus tells those who confront him, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And then in John 8:36, he says, "So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Jesus did not come to kowtow to the religious institutions of the day. Friends, don't miss the entire point of why we come to worship on Sundays. It's about a relationship, not about a religion. Hold to Christ's teachings, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what Jesus said. We'll be turning to chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, and as we do, let us reflect on the differences between chapter 8 and chapter 9. Arthur W. Pink, a valuable commentator on this Gospel, captures the difference between chapter 8 and chapter 9, hence also between sections 2 and 3 in this manner. He says, "In John 8, we behold Christ as the light of the world, exposing the darkness. But in John 9, he communicates sight. In John 8, the light is despised and rejected. In John 9, he is received and worshiped. In John 8, the Jews were seen stooping down to pick up stones. In John 9, Christ is seen stooping down to make anointing clay. In John 8, Christ hides himself from the Jews. And in John 9, he reveals himself to the blind beggar. In John 8, we have a company in whom the world has no place," verse 37. "And in John 9 is one who responds promptly to the word," verse 7 of chapter 9. In John 8, Christ is inside the temple, is called a demoniac. In John 9, outside the temple, he is owned as Lord. The central truth of John 8 is the light testing human responsibility. And in John 9, the central truth is God acting in sovereign grace after human responsibility has failed. Let us pray. God, Lord God, God of light and life, we come today to be forgiven and set free. We come today to walk in the light as you are in the light. We come to have our eyes open truly, to see with spiritual eyes. We come to know the truth. We come to follow you. May the words we hear today give us a new vision of sight in order to understand God's glory and grace. Amen. John 9, 1-41. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it into the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came away seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging, said, "Isn't this the man who you used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. He replied, the man, they call Jesus, made some mud and put it into my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. They brought me to the Pharisees, the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the eyes of the man was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he responds, "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I was washed, and now I see." We're going to stop on verse 15 because of timing. The first point that I want to make as we begin to ponder this chapter is that Jesus sees us. Did you hear me? Jesus sees us. Jesus sees you. Jesus saw the blind beggar. Jesus saw the couple at the wedding and knew they were running out of wine and did not want them to suffer any family shame. Jesus turned ordinary water into fine wine. Jesus saw the woman at the well and gave her the good news that he was the Son of God and gave her a drink from the water of life. Jesus saw the paralyzed man lying on his mat for 38 years and asked him if he wanted to be healed. Jesus told him to pick up his mat and walk. Jesus saw the faith of the royal official and healed his son from a distance. Jesus saw the crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children and had compassion on them. Jesus fed, well, probably 10,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus saw the disciples struggling out in the middle of the sea and walked out into their storm and stilled the winds and the waves. Immediately, they made their destination. When Jesus arrived at the tomb of Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, Jesus saw Mary and Martha weeping, and he wept with them. Jesus makes another great announcement. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will never die." Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb. Well, here we have another dead man walking. Jesus is confronted by the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, and instead confronts them with their sin. Jesus sees the woman caught in adultery, and she leaves forgiven. Guilty as sin when they met, white as snow after. Jesus sees the people were looking to 4 candelabras to light their life, and Jesus picks up that theme and says, "I am the light of the world." He says it like in the beginning of John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it." Light helps us see our way through the darkness. Just look at every miracle we have studied in this series. Jesus is the God-man miracle maker, and Jesus brings the light. He brings it. He is the light. Whoever believes in him will never be in darkness. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. If you're struggling right now, or maybe you're in the dark, go to our website, click on the prayer icon, write up your prayer, and our prayer team will pray for you. We've had some wonderful answers to prayer. If you don't have a Bible, you can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship, and I'll get you a Bible. I'll put the Word of God in your hands and the light of life from Jesus in your heart. Can you put yourself into this story? That's what I want to talk about for a few more minutes. Can you put yourself into this story? No matter what, when you read or hear the Word of God, stop and put yourself into the story. And then I'll say, put the story in you. See where you fit, and then see the light. Jesus is the light, and Jesus sees you. Here is where we are today. The religious people are chomping at the bit. This renegade Jesus is not doing things their way, so they confront him again and again. And after this, Jesus walks away from the confrontation and tells the woman caught in her sin, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Now he moved to the witness of the story of the man born blind. And this is the first verse of chapter 9. "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth." John 9:1. Don't miss it. "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth." Have you ever wondered what others saw? Remember that there are millions of people in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. How many of those people were in the courtyard of the temple when Jesus was walking through? Are you there? Are you following Jesus to see what is next? Or are you complaining and criticizing Jesus because, he's a bit of a rule bender? Enter in, see where you fit. How did Jesus see this one blind man in the middle of a million people? Have you ever thought about that? I have. How does Jesus see you in the middle of all the people around you? The Greek word for "went along" literally means in Greek, "he was passing by." The word that John uses for "saw" in Greek is eidon, and it means to perceive by sight or to know and pay attention. Jesus does not just look at this man. Jesus knows and perceives that he was born blind. The stage is set for one of those marvelous miracles that will help to cement the religious leaders against Jesus, but will also open the eyes of many others and bring them to him, to bring them to the Messiah. First, the man cannot see. You understand this? The blind beggar cannot see. He cannot see Jesus. G.K. Chesterton once wrote, "Love is not blind." That's the last thing it is. Love is bound, and the more it is bound, the less it is blind. Jesus' love for those of us who are blind, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, is demonstrated in this story. I would ask you, where are you blind? Where are your blind spots? We do not know how old this man was. We don't even know his name. We don't know what his parents' names are. All we know is this man was born blind. We know that this blind man sits in the court of the temple and begs. Are you in the story? What do you see? What did the crowd see? What did the religious leaders see? What did the disciples see? When the disciples see the blind man, we're told that they ask Jesus a question. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Here comes the age-old question of why God allows suffering. I wish we had more time to discuss this one. One lesson we can take away from this story is, well, there are no pat answers to the question of human suffering. There are answers, of course. We're going to see some of them. But there are no pat answers. I do not think we can say that suffering is always the direct result of personal sin. In some cases, suffering is corrective. It is given in order to get us back on the path that God has chosen for us. In other cases, it's constructive. It is given to build character. I love Romans, the book of Romans, and in chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." In still other cases, as here, it is given solely that God might receive the glory. This is what Jesus says to his disciples. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Point one, Jesus sees. Jesus sees the blind man in a crowd of millions of people. Jesus sees you where you are. Second point, Jesus gives sight. He says, "Go," he told them, "wash in the pool of Siloam." And this word, Siloam, means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. What a great story. Jesus spits in the dust and makes clay from the mud, then puts it on the man's eyes and tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Can you enter into this story? This man's born blind is making his way through the temple courts with mud on his eyes, stumbling and staggering through the courtyard down the steps to the pool of Siloam. We're told that the blind man went as he asked. There was no big debate. There was no question asking why. He just went. And when he washed, the word tells us he left for home, seeing. The Greek word for seeing is blepo, and it's a present active verb. And that means, in the Greek, that means that his seeing never stopped. He kept seeing. He kept seeing forever and ever. He never stopped seeing. I want you to know that ophthalmologists call this man's being born blind condition irreversible. The natural window of opportunity had closed. Well, maybe I'll ask you a so what question. Do you feel like that you've missed the window of opportunity? Maybe you've lost count of all the specialists you've gone to or how many treatments you've taken. Maybe your marriage ended in divorce or you're not sure you can love again or trust again. Maybe you have failed in business or school or a relationship. Maybe the love of your life has gone to heaven. What I do know, I know that God is God, He's the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. When I was really, really sick with a rare infection several years ago, they sent me to 17 different doctors. They sent me to the best infectious disease specialist in Los Angeles, and no one knew what was wrong. But I trusted God, and I knew that God was a God of second chances and third chances and fourth. Listen, it is never too late. It's never too little. You're never too little or you're never too late when Jesus gets involved in your life. Richard Moore of Derry, Northern Ireland, was just 10 years old when blinded by a British soldier who fired a rubber bullet at him at point-blank range. He was on his way home from a local school. For as long as he could remember, Richard wanted to meet the soldier who shot him. 30 years after the incident, he finally did. After discovering who the soldier was and where he lived, Richard wrote to him to get permission to visit, and then he met with the man face-to-face, offering his personal, heartfelt forgiveness. Here is what Richard later said about the experience. After that, something peculiar and wonderful happened. Something inside me changed, something paradoxical. I began to realize that the gift of forgiveness I thought was bestowing on the soldier who shot me was actually a gift from God to me. It did not even matter whether the soldier wanted or needed a forgiveness. The gift freed me, leaving me with a sense of serenity and blessedness. All through my boyhood, my mother had wanted the impossible for me, that I'd be given back my sight. I even woke up one night to find my dear mother on her knees next to my bed, pleading with God. When I met the soldier and forgave him, I believe my mother's prayers were answered. I was given a new vision, and my real wound, the one that needed healing more than my eyes, was healed. Point two, Jesus gives sight. Point one, Jesus sees you. Point two, Jesus gives sight. The blind man could not see Jesus, but Jesus saw him. Moreover, when he saw him as a man who needed his help. Jesus alone saw him in this way. The disciples looked at the man and saw him as a sinner. Who sinned? They asked. This man or his parents? The passers-by saw him as a beggar. Isn't he the man who sat and begged? The Pharisees saw him as a tool to maneuver to trap Jesus, but Jesus saw him as a man who needed help, and he gave him his sight. Here we are at this famous time of the message, so what? What does this message have to do with you and me? Where am I? Where are you in this story? You know, I worked a grace weekend last week, a couple weekends ago, and I told the men on that weekend that there are two kinds of people in this world. There are grace givers and grace stealers. That is your homework for this week and really forever. Every day, stop and take an inventory of who you are. Take an inventory of where you are, maybe where you're blind. Look at your life, your family, your neighborhood, your schools, your church, your job, and ask yourself this question. Am I a grace giver or am I a grace stealer? And then get ready. I hear Jesus is passing by your way. Let us pray. Jesus, where we lack help, help us. Where we are blind, give us sight. Where we have become grace stealers, grace destroyers, grace killers, change us and make us more like you. Teach us how to see the truth and help the truth to set us free. Free to be grace givers like you. And all of God's people said, Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.